This is the City Surgery.
The City Surgery.
Expert advice for the cost of a phone call.
The City Surgery.
With Will Batchelor.
On City Talk 105.9.
City
Surgery.
City Talk 105.9. This is the voice of Liverpool, and I'm Will Batchelor, back in the hot seat on the City Surgery after what feels like an age. I was off last week. I was covering the Pete Price show for 2 weeks before that, and then I think I was doing the surgery the week before that. But you know, the weeks tend to roll into one. So thank you to Alex Davies and Phil Cooper for looking after the show while I've been away, and hopefully I will remember what to do. I think it's some sort of phone-in show, but I'm not sure. That's right. Yeah, it's a phone-in show, and each day I'm joined by an expert of a different flavour. On each day of the week, and they're always the same guys that come in. On a Tuesday, it's the vet. On a Wednesday, it's the lawyer. On a Thursday, it's the doctor. On a Friday, it's the financial whiz kid. But on a Monday, it's the gadget guru, none other than Mr. Gary Miller. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. We've missed you. I mean, Alex has been tremendous. And I actually thought she was going to be here today, but I'm really pleased to see that you're back, particularly looking out on this beautiful city. Isn't the weather great outside today?
It is. That spring is here. And it's time, at a gloomy time in many ways. It's nice just that everyone's walking around with that extra spring in their step, so that's good. And if you want to enjoy the weather and the positive atmosphere and you want to talk to us here, we are ready, willing and able to take your call. And as ever, the way you get in touch with this show is one of three ways. You can either email, surgery@citytalk.fm. You can text in, 61025 is the number, and you have to remember to start your message with the word talk, followed by a space, otherwise we won't get it. And the phone number is 0151 708 1059. That's 0151 708 1059. You can give us your question on air, or indeed, if you're a little bit shy, you can give us it off air as well. And Gary Miller is, as we say, a gadget guru, and is here to answer any of your technological queries. So, if you are struggling to make your computer work and you've tried hitting it with a hammer and kicking it and that doesn't work and you want to try something more technical, Gary may be able to help you with that. If you're looking to buy a new piece of kit, maybe you're looking to buy a phone or a camera or a DVD player or a TV or a home cinema system, then you want some help kind of navigating your way around all the technical jargon, Gary can help you out with that as well. Or if you want to ask any other technical question that I haven't thought of, I'm sure there's many, you can try your luck as well. Those numbers are there, they're up and running, and they will be until 1 o'clock, which is when this show ends, and Jimmy Corkill takes over. Before we do any of that, though, as ever, Gary's got his what's hot and what's not. But particularly of interest to me today, Gary, under your kind of, well, I think you've got it under what's hot. I think it's not hot. Tell us about Big Brother watching our emails. What's all this about?
Well, it is actually, you're right. It's a what's not hot. Definitely a not hot. However, it's hot news. As of yesterday, did you know, listeners, that your internet service providers, they're often called ISPs, are now monitoring, storing your emails, your text messages, your internet access.
And this is every single message you send?
Yeah.
And they store it for a year, is that
it's
right?
It's 1 year. What it is, it's our lovely friends in Europe. Now, sometimes they have daft rules, like let's have a straight banana and not a curvy banana. Isn't that stupid?
Well, however, if you're trying to fit it in your lunchbox, it's not. But anyway, it's a different show.
Exactly. However, the EU, that's a European Union Data Retention Directive, has provoked widespread condemnation. As of the 15th of March, which in my diary would be yesterday, Sunday, which is a strange day to start, the UK internet service providers will have to store all communication from customers for 1 year from the 15th of March.
So they actually have to. It's not even optional.
They've got to.
Blimey.
So under the directive, details of every email, phone call and text message sent or received, including information such as the IP address, the internet protocol address from your computer, and time of use will have to be recorded. The police and the security experts will be able to request access to the information to combat terrorism and cybercrime, but only with a court order. Nonetheless, the move has sparked huge concerns from privacy groups, IT security firms and legal experts.
It's got to be a worry, hasn't it? Because there will be a lot of people who are up to no good on the internet. And let me just break this down. Let's say there's a significant amount of people up to no good on the internet. 99% of them will be up to no good in a way that won't interest the anti-terror forces or the anti-cybercrime forces. They might be having an extramarital affair on the internet. They might be slagging off their boss on the internet. They might be using it for some other nefarious activity which is not actually illegal. And then there'll be that 1% who are using it to arrange crimes or terrorist attacks. I guess what most people will be worried about is, what if that email I stored arranging to meet my mistress is then dredged up by someone and shown to my partner?
And it could be. But apparently the police can get access to this and security experts can get access to this with this court order. I have a slight problem with it. It's EU. It's not worldwide. So when I get scams from Nigeria, which I must get one a day at least, asking me to give people some bank details and they'll give me £33 million because somebody's auntie died in a car crash or in a plane crash in some remote region of Nigeria. And, of course, I believe that that's true, so I'm going to get £33 million. I'm going
to
give
them... It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. So if you hear those sort of scams, don't go anywhere near them, listeners. However, that's in Nigeria. So nobody's going to combat that kind of crime if it's over there. And I actually think the majority of internet crime and internet scams actually take place outside of the EU. I wouldn't say we're perfect in the EU, but I think most of it comes from abroad. So who's actually policing that?
And certainly if you're looking at terrorist organisations as well, although clearly there are active terrorist cells within the European Union area, there will also be many emails sent from America and places in the Middle East and indeed Australia and Africa and beyond the EU. So you kind of think it doesn't quite add up. It just seems to me that the citizens of Europe who send emails and texts are effectively being punished in a system that hasn't even been thought through properly.
It probably has been thought through by certain individuals, but I think there's a much, much bigger picture. And in fact, anybody who is a terrorist could bypass it quite easily by doing things. If they're bright, they're able to go onto other people's Wi-Fis, other people's computers, use those as aliases, or use pay-as-you-go 3G modems that actually you pay for cash. You get a 3G modem and like a little dongle type thing you attach to your computer. You could pay cash for that and nobody would actually know that who you are. So there are ways around it. So
I guess
I'm not
you could use internet cafes as well, couldn't you?
You can use internet cafes, but I think you've got to log in as you. But I suppose if you create an alias and you pay by debit card or credit card for that alias, then there's a way of checking that back. But I'm sure
people
are bright.
You could set up a Hotmail account, for example, under a false name, giving false details in a cyber cafe, and you go around the world using that Hotmail account, and no one would know it was you.
No, you wouldn't. You're right.
People
haven't thought it through completely, because technically there are ways around any of these internet frauds, and people, terrorists, cyber criminals, will be able to get around this. So I don't think it's perfect, and it's not perfect because it's only the EU. It's not in the Middle East, it's not in the Far East, it's not in Australia, it's not in America, although America probably does have its own rules now. But they're all going to be disjointed, I think.
There you go. If you want to comment on that, you're very welcome to. But of course, the main thrust of the City Surgery is questions. So if you have a question for Gary Miller, and it could be about your computer or any other piece of technology in your life that might be baffling you, then don't be shy. The number to call is 0151 708 1059. The text is 61025. You start it with the word talk, you leave a space, otherwise we don't see it. And the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. That's surgery, S-U-R-G-E-R-Y, @citytalk.fm. I have my computer up and running before me. I will read out your question, and Gary will hopefully be able to shed some of his expertise in the field of information technology upon you. Right, what else is hot, or Gary? In fact, that wasn't hot, the Big Brother thing. What is hot? What can we take some joy from in the world of technology this week?
Well, this is a good one. Did you know? Now, you might be surprised at this, but we had happy birthday last week to the CDs. And actually, CDs were 30 years old as of last week.
30 years old. Hang on, that was 1979 then,
yeah.
The number.
Yeah.
Do you remember back in the 80s? I don't know if you might have had this discussion with Alex when she was covering, but the only CDs you could get for a while were for, like, yuppie groups, weren't they? Like Dire Straits you could buy, and maybe a bit of Level 42, maybe some Christa Berg.
But were they yuppie?
Well, they were a little bit kind of, you know, an estate agent would want to slip brothers in arms on while he drove his Porsche 911 between various commuter belts in the south.
What did you listen to in the 70s?
Well, I wasn't old enough really in the 70s, but in the 80s, I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved Dire Straits. I just can look back on it now critically and say it wasn't the best music. But anyway, so yeah, CDs were 30
years old. They were 30 years old. Well, this surprised me because I knew a bigger picture on this, but the World Wide Web is 20.
Really?
20 years old.
Isn't that scary? So the World Wide Web is legally allowed to go out and drink
do whatever it
carouse.
Wants. Yeah, we can indeed. Yeah, it's got the keys to the door. It's his 20th birthday. And some people would say, no, it isn't, because it's been around for a lot longer than that.
Mm.
No, it hasn't. The internet is 40 years old.
Right.
But that was used to transfer just purely data.
Right.
But the actual World Wide Web, those pretty pictures, those promotional websites, actually only started 20 years ago.
But even that, 1989, I mean, who'd heard of the World Wide Web in 1989?
I was writing applications for the World Wide Web in 1989.
Were you?
I was indeed.
But yeah, well, I
probably look a lot younger than I really am, but yes, Will, I was writing web applications in
What does that even mean, writing a web application?
Well, I wrote in a thing called HTML.
I've heard of that.
Hypertext. Multi-link, and it allowed you to go, it was actually the Apple, if I remember rightly, but they would allow you to click on a link that might say Google, for example. I know Google didn't exist then, but and you click on it and it would go away to that site. So it would go to the Apple site, for example, and you can see wonderful things about the Apple Lisa and the Apple Macintosh in the old days when it was great for things like desktop publishing.
Blimey, this takes me back. I should have got the Hovis music ready for that one, but there you go. The internet
is 20 years old today.
Happy birthday to, not the internet, sorry, the World Wide Web is 20 years old. And if you want to ask about that or indeed any other technical issue, you can. The number is 0151 708 1059, and that is the number that Mrs. Noon, who's in Widnes, has called. She's got a computer problem. Hello there.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Mrs. Noon. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. What it is, whenever I go on the internet, I've got the full security on it, you know, and I do a virus scan all the time. But when I'm opening up a different site, the one I want is coming on, but then all these other sites are appearing as well. Does that mean it's got a virus?
It's probably got an advert, malware, spyware type of system on there. Now, what it means, basically, is you're getting pop-ups. And those pop-ups are other people's sites coming in. So maybe when somebody's gone into something on your machine, for example, I've seen you could search for things like, let's pretend, snooker. Yeah. And actually, nothing at all to do with snooker would appear on the screen. And you go, where's that come from? But that's actually because your computer thinks you might want to hear about, I don't know, I'm not going to say what it could be, because it could be something naughty, but let's say garden sheds. No, I never wanted to know about garden sheds, but the computer thinks you do.
You might want to put your snooker table in one.
You might want to put your snooker table inside your garden shed. However, that needs to be fixed. So what you need to do is get an anti-spyware or anti-adware program to actually get rid of it. Now, I don't know if you listened to the show last week, and I hope you did, because on the show I went through a couple of spyware and adware programs that actually would get rid of that issue happening. And now what you can do, I'm going to just give you a couple in a second. I won't do it right this minute. But what you can do, listeners, is listen to the podcasts. And we've got podcasts. That's just basically a copy of this program that's been recorded and put onto the internet, and you can get it from iTunes, and you can actually listen to these shows and others. This is called the City Tech Show on iTunes, and you can actually listen to it for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
The last couple of weeks we've been remiss, but we are getting the podcast back up and running as of this week, I promise. So from this week back again, the City Surgery podcast on a Monday will be available. But in the meantime, Gary, for those who don't have that available to them or don't want to, what sort of anti-spyware and anti-adware program should Mrs. Noon be looking
for? Mrs. Noon, have a look at www.adware, that's A-D-W-A-R, adware.com, yeah. Adware. Have a look at that. There's also Norton and CA, Computer Associates is the old name of it. I'm just, what I'm doing is I'm actually just reminding myself of the others. There's about five or six. So listen in. We're gonna go now, but we'll listen in and we'll give you them over there. All right?
Okay.
Okay, then.
Thank you, Mrs. Noon. Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was very formal, wasn't it? If you want to give us your first name, you can, or we'll call you by your surname and your official title. That's fine.
She sounds very nice.
We can do formality here on the City Surgery. If you want to get a question in, like Mrs. Noon did, if you want to ask about a problem or something that's worrying you with your technology, or indeed if you're just looking to buy something and you want to get some advice from Gary, or indeed our army of techie listeners on what's the best phone, camera, VCR. Who buys a VCR? Where did that come from? It's all that 80s talk. A DVD player, TV, camcorder, anything like that. Then you can ask about that as well, and we'll start a little discussion and maybe get you some guidance as to the best one to get. Either way, the number's the same. You can either email surgery@citytalk.fm. You can text 61025. Start your message, please, with the word talk, followed by a space. Or, best of all, get on the blower. 0151 708 1059. City Talk 105.9, this is the City Surgery with me, Will Batchelor, back in the hot seat after a few weeks' absence, but certainly back with a familiar face on a Monday, who is Mr. Gary Miller, our gadget guru, who is here to answer all of your technological questions. And if you want to ask Gary a question, the number is 0151 708 1059. You can text 61025, you can start it with the word talk, leave a space, and that way we'll see it and read it out, and Gary will get you an answer. And if Gary doesn't know, then maybe one of our army of techie listeners will know. And you can email as well, surgery@citytalk.fm. That's surgery@citytalk.fm. Got a couple of questions we're going to get to shortly, but I must just mention this as well, because Janet in Egworth has phoned in, and she just said that maybe Mrs. Noon, our caller in Widnes, who wanted to know about anti-spyware and anti-adware.
Yes.
Or basically, she wanted to stop pop-ups. Janet in Egworth says she tried something called www.pctools.com. Have you heard of that one,
Gary?
I
have indeed, yeah. That's one of the ones I would have recommended, but thank you. Thank you very much.
PC Tools. Sounds like a local...
PC Tools. TOOLS.com.
Sounds like a local member of the constabulary. Sort of beat Bobby.
Yeah, but could be indeed.
PCTools.com. And that will stop those pop-ups telling you about garden sheds or snooker or indeed...
Can I give you another couple, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, another one is StopZilla. That's S-T-O-P. Zilla, Z-I-L-L-A.com. And it's www. Okay, and another one, we've mentioned it already, was Adware. So have a look at Lavasoft, Lavasoft.com.
Fantastic.
Obviously with www at the beginning.
Okay, and another listener has just been on suggesting SpyBot. Have you heard of SpyBot?
I have indeed. In fact, I've got several in front of me. I could have gone through them all, but SpyBot's one of those, but yes.
Is that www.spybot, S-P-Y-B-O-T, presumably, .com?
Yeah. In fact, I've got to tell you, that's the one I use.
There we go. And I'm also told by a listener that there's a Google toolbar on the computer which also has an anti-pop-up device.
There's also Microsoft as well. Internet Explorer will do the same.
There's many options.
There's many. Some are free and some will cost you money.
To prevent an unwanted pop-up.
And exactly.
No one wants an unwanted pop-up, do
we
they?
We don't know. I've just got the visions of with PC Tools with his policeman's hat on and his truncheon, and I've got StopZilla, and all I can see now is gorillas and sort of Japanese manga-type cartoons where they had Godzilla.
Mm.
Yeah, you remember Godzilla?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Manga's massive, isn't it, on
huge,
the internet?
Huge.
We should do something about manga.
Really? I don't know much about it. If anybody out there knows about manga, then you could help us.
That wasn't scripted, by the way. That's just how Gary talks in real life. But, by the way, I'm going to get on some questions shortly because I can see them coming in, but you've still got plenty of time if you do want to ask our gadget guru, Gary Miller, a question about technology, whether you're looking to buy it and you want some advice on the spec, or whether you've got a problem with the technology you already have, i.e. your computer or your phone's busted or frozen or not working properly, then Gary will help you out with that as well. The numbers, as ever, 0151 708 1059. If you want to ask your question on air, or indeed tell one of my glamorous assistants off air, you can text 61025, start it with the word talk, leave a space, and you can email surgery at citytalk.fm. And don't forget, by the way, we are doing the podcast. As of this week, we are refreshing the City Surgery podcast. In my absence, it's gone a bit awry, but I'm back, and this show is being recorded, and we will rip it off as soon as I'm done and stick it onto iTunes as quickly as possible. So if you're a fan of this show via the podcast, and indeed if you're listening via the podcast, maybe you're walking the dog or doing something several days or weeks from now, hello from the past to the future, the podcast is back up and running. Right, I'm also going to get an email from Peter in North Wales read out shortly about what we were talking about before, which is email privacy. But just before we do that, we were talking in the break, Gary, about your three favourite things about the internet, which you wanted to get out there as well.
Well, I've got lots of things that I hate about the internet or the web, but there's things I actually love about it. Mm. And so I've actually, and I'd like people, you know, if they've got an idea of what they think is great about the web or what's bad about the web, then ring us or email us or text us. But my top three, and I've actually got more than three, but my top three, my number one is information. Mm. Getting information, spreading information. That's really what the internet, the web, should be about. Mm. Make people more informed. Second is entrepreneurship. Now, that's not necessarily what they call e-commerce, but entrepreneurship stroke business. The fact that people can use the web to actually talk about their business, create businesses from nothing. I mean, actually, Google was created by an entrepreneur. Mm. Facebook was created by an entrepreneur. And Twitter was created by an entrepreneur. So it's created some very successful businesses out of quite simple ideas. Google, what a hugely simple idea. And yet it's made a lot of money for certain people. And then finally, my number three is it is normally a level playing field. It's a neutral playing field. You can get a balanced argument. You can actually get stuff that's, you know, a bit cultish, or it's spreading rumor, gossip, and whatever. But actually, you get that balanced. So the top three are information, followed by entrepreneurship, followed by the level playing field. But if you've got your top three and you don't agree with me, tell us, email us again, phone us, or text us. I'd like to know what your top three or your worst three might be.
I'd be interested to see some of the answers for that. I can imagine what many people's favourite thing about the internet is. And while you can send it in, I'll read it out, as long as it hasn't got a rude word in it. Okay, I'm just going to read out this email from Peter in North Wales, because he's had some interesting thoughts about what we were speaking about earlier, which was this EU data retention directive. As of yesterday, if you missed the start of the show, if you send an email or a text message in the European Union area, then they will keep it for a year. And if the police or anti-terror forces or certain councils even want to know what email you sent and they want details of it, they can apply through it through the courts, and your internet service provider has to give it. Scary stuff. And Peter says, hi guys, I have to say that I think the email SMS home logging is a terrible waste of time and money. Apparently it's 50 million for the ISPs over the next few years, as they're going to be refunded part of the cost of setting up these logs. Instead of smashing spammer, in the UK, we already have the RIPA 2000 Act, which allows for the logging of the content of email, and ISPs are not allowed to tell users about it. For someone under suspicion, all the traffic to and from them must be copied to the UK security services. So there you go, Big Brother is already watching you anyway. So there's a lot more going on than we know about, says Peter. I have nothing to hide, but I hate ID cards, etc. And for that reason, I use a mail service in Norway, and servers in other countries. You can also get a SIM card for many of the mobile networks and a new phone for under 10 quid. And if you pay cash, there's no record of who you are or where the owner lives. They can log the calls and texts, but they know nothing about the owner except where the phone was at the time of those calls and perhaps where it was bought. And that's from Peter in North Wales. He says, via a server in California. But I could be using a server in China or anywhere else if I had illegal ideas in mind. Some really valid points and interesting points that Peter's making there.
They're all very relevant. I'm against the idea cards idea and all the monitoring of data. The fact he's right, he's from North Wales. He's using something in America, and he's to say use China. And it's not in the EU. So actually, you're going to miss these ones completely. And you can use a pay-as-you-go phone and miss those as well. So good point. And it's going to cost £47 million to put this into place over the next 8 years.
What a gross waste of money.
Absolutely. If you want to comment on that, or indeed if you want to ask Gary Miller a question about the technology in your life, then you can do what Peter did, and you can email surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can do what Mrs. Noon in Widnes did, and Janet in Egbert, and you can phone up 0151 708 1059, you can do what Steve has done and send me a text to 61025, and the text starts with the word talk, followed by a space, please, otherwise we won't see it. And Steve says, I want to produce a church newsletter, but I'm on a limited budget, i.e. my own computer and whatever I can afford. Can I get anything off the net for free? I assume he means kind of desktop publishing software.
He does. I mean, a lot of people, you could use Microsoft Word. A Microsoft Word would actually produce quite a nice-looking newsletter, but it's quite cumbersome. It's there to put letters together and reports together.
Yeah, because I thought Microsoft Word, and I've never really explored it in great detail, but I always thought that was for, you know, writing a letter or a CV. Can you actually do columns and a bit like a home newspaper?
Well, I mean, I did teach, I don't teach it now, I used to teach this. Word would let you create tables. So have you ever heard of tables? In word processing, you can put text into a small box on the right-hand side and a photograph into a big box on the left-hand side. And actually it starts looking like a newsletter. You can give it a heading and whatever. Mm. Quite cumbersome, but it will do the job. Mm. And that's what a lot of people use. However, when you do more than one page and you want to print it out as a good-looking booklet or whatever, it won't print the way you would expect, because you'll get page one and then page two and then page three on A4 sheets of paper, one after the other. Mm. But what if you wanted to do something on the back or something in the center pages? You couldn't do that with that particular program. What you could do is you could download from free, that's F for Freddy, R-E-E, serifsoftware.com. Serif is spelled S-E-R-I-F. Freeserifsoftware.com. And it's Page Plus, and you can download it free today. You can also download Serif, that's S-E-R-I-F.com, and you can get the full version of Page Plus for $19.99. So you can get it free, or it's £20. It's worth doing.
It's weird, isn't it? Because of all the advances that have been made in technology and computer technology and well, the whole IT revolution over the last two decades, I think that newsletters still look a little bit like what they looked in the late 80s or early 90s. It doesn't seem that desktop publishing has made that many bounds forward. Or am I being unfair? Is it perhaps just the people are not keeping up with the tools being made available?
It's not the tools, I think. If you're going to do a church newsletter or a community centre newsletter, it's unlikely that anybody's taught you about design. Mm. So about putting it together. So what most people do is they'll put a nice big heading and they'll make it bold and then they'll underline it and then they'll italicise it so it's slanting over slightly and they'll put it into Times New Roman, which is a typeface. Mm. And then underneath it, they'll do a paragraph and it'll be in Arial, which is a very much simple-looking text, but they might put some words in bold, and then they'll underline those as well. Mm. And I wouldn't do any of that if I was designing a newsletter, because that makes it look like it's been done in the 60s or the 70s.
It's very parish magazine,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so if people... I mean, it's great to do newsletters, and it's a great way of getting a message out, but to do it properly, you could do with some tuition from a company who would tell you about things like white space. And white space basically means less is more. Don't overdo it. Don't put two church spires, the same church spire on the left and on the right hand side of your newsletter, because it would look messy. It's not a good design. So that makes it look cheaper. It makes it look old fashioned. What you would do is you would put one church spire on with a nicely laid out heading next to it with a date to say when it was done, so you actually know that it's the most current one. And that would actually look a lot neater. And that's what you'd get from some training courses. So desktop publishing combined with training or with a template that somebody's done for you, and all you need to do is change the content every month or every 2 months. That, if you got that done professionally by a designer, as a template means that basically you just drop new text into it and a new headline into it when you want to update it. But you would still use Page Plus or Microsoft Publisher or Quark Express or PageMaker. And there's a whole batch of desktop publishing programs. PageMaker and Quark Express are probably going to cost you something in the order of £600.
Really?
For a very good one, hugely expensive, down to free or £19.99 on average for things like Page Plus. Or you can get away with doing all of that, but you won't get something fantastic, but at least it will do a one-sheet newsletter, maybe double-sided if you wanted, in Microsoft Word. But again, you would need some tuition, some direction from somebody who knows how to use tables, not columns, although you could use columns, but use tables in Microsoft Word.
There you go. Steve, thank you for the text message. And I look forward to a rash of kind of sexy new newsletters across the region of Merseyside and North Wales and beyond from people who've listened to you, Gary, because it's let's have a newsletter revolution.
That would be great, yeah. And maybe what they could do is put a photograph of you on that newsletter, Will.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't like to give them ideas, but if they did want to put a small...
Listening to Christa Berg with headphones on.
Yeah, I think it'd be fantastic. Yeah. 0151 708 1059 is the number if you want to ask Gary Miller a question. The text number is 61025 and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. I'm going to read another question out shortly from Chris in Ellesmere Port. So, Chris, sit tight. But I realise I kind of ran away with myself at the top of the show, Gary. And I asked you what was hot in the world of the internet, and you mentioned the 20th birthday of the World Wide Web. What's not hot? Because I actually prefer hearing about what's not hot in the world of technology than what's hot.
I can't believe this one. I hate it. There's two, actually. I'll see if I can do both, but I'll do this one. This is the one that first attracted my attention. Can you imagine? Well, can you imagine somebody's finger being chopped off in an accident?
Yes, I'm imagining it now.
But, yeah, so it's not a great sight, is it?
No.
Could you imagine now that somebody has developed a finger that he can plug in to a USB device?
So hang on.
Go on.
Does it look like a human finger, but you plug it into the computer?
Yeah.
It's like a sort of a ghoulish gimmick.
Well, what it is, a Finnish... So maybe they're a bit mad over in Finland. I don't know. Some of my friends are Finnish, so I'm sorry if you're affronted by that. But a Finnish software developer by the name of Jerry Jalava has managed to obtain a prosthetic USB finger after losing his finger in a motorcycle accident last year.
I'm with you. So he needs a prosthetic finger anyway because he's lost his finger in an accident. And he thought, well, being as I'm having a prosthetic finger made, I might as well make it extra handy and have a USB device in the end of it.
Yeah, well, what it is...
That's brilliant.
It does plug into his hand. And he could take it out and plug it into the computer. So actually, it's multi-purpose. It's like the $6 million man. Was it Lee Majors?
It was Lee Majors. $6 million man. Yeah.
So actually, it doesn't do anything on his finger, on his hand.
Yeah.
But when he unplugs it from his hand, he plugs it into a computer and he actually keeps software on this USB device.
How can you say that's not hot? That's the best thing I've ever heard.
So
this guy, he walks in and he says, someone says to him, oh, can I see those documents that you've done for whatever? And he goes, oh yeah, just hang on a sec, I'll just get the memory stick. Pulls his thumb or his finger off.
Yeah.
And it looks like a real finger because it's got the sort of plastic or rubber on that makes it look like flesh.
Yeah.
And then just pops it into the USB port and up comes the data.
And he keeps... I don't know these programs, to be honest. I've never heard of them before. Billix, I think it's a billing system, B-I-L-L-I-X. Couch DBX. Don't know what it is. If you know what it is, tell me. I could always check it. And Ajatus, A-J-A-T-U-S. And that's all installed in his finger. And his next version is going to have an RFID tag. Now, that is when he's going through, let's say you're in Asda and you want to pay your bill and you do your shopping. Mm. Well, actually, it comes off your finger. So.
The girl on the till is going to love that. Or the boy on the till. Sorry for my sexism there.
Exactly. It's outrageous. It's like,
There you go. Have you got a club card? Yeah. Hang on. I store it in my prosthetic foot. I'll just take it off and you can put it through the zapper.
But only matched by, I'm going to do this, only matched by the fact that somebody's actually produced a prosthetic eye that is a wireless camera device. And he has actually put this together.
Yeah.
And he can take it out of his eye And it will actually take photographs, and it will actually record
video.
Is it
the same guy or a different guy?
It's a different guy.
Oh, it'd be great. They're all the same one. It'd be like a walking computer.
Oh, could you imagine?
So someone in the same way has got a prosthetic eye because they've lost it in an accident or whatever, and they've got a camera inside the eye.
Basically, it's a filmmaker. He's semi-eyeless, apparently. Mm. Whatever that means, he's got one eye. An avionics systems engineer and a whiz kid ocularist. Must be somebody who does things with eyes. Mm. And they've created the weirdest and the craziest technology ever. And the Eyeborg project was created by Canadian filmmaker Rob Spence. Decided he would like to film his documentaries from a different perspective. Mm. So he decided to have a tiny video camera and a transmitter embedded into a prosthetic eye. The technology set up to make this a reality includes a lithium, that's a battery, button cell battery, a 1.5mm camera, a tiny transmitter, and an even tinier image sensor. And apparently you could lose it if you sneezed. That is just interesting. So you've got a finger
fantastic.
In the eye.
Yeah, there you go. And also, it'd be great because you could go to certain bars, like lap dancing bars, where you're not normally allowed to take a camera, and they'll tell you off if you're caught taking pictures. He could be sitting there clicking away with his false eye, so it could have many uses.
I don't know anybody who goes to lap dancing bars.
Nor do I. Brilliant stuff. If you want to ask Gary a question, the number is 0151 708 1059. Lynn in Halewood with a laptop for your teenage son. We'll find out about that. Also, Chris in Ellesmere Port with a question about plasma TVs coming up. You can send your questions in to City Talk on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool. I'm Will Batchelor with you after a period of absence, but I'm back in the City Surgery hot seat, and as ever, I'm joined on each day of the week by an expert in a different field. Today's expert is Gary Miller. I'll get to him shortly, but I must remind you that tomorrow it will be our vet in the chair. She's Jill Burkill from Vets Now. So if you're worried about a pet or an animal at home and you want to ask a vet a question, you haven't had time to get to your own vet yet, or you haven't been able to get out of the house or whatever, then you can send it now via email to surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can phone or text on the day. That's tomorrow between 12 and 1 on the usual numbers. And also, I think I'm right in saying, yes, I am right in saying, that tomorrow it's the turn of Craig Richardson to join myself and Jill. He's a dog behavioural expert. So as well as answering all the usual questions about any domestic pets and their illnesses, if you've got a specific question about the way your dog is behaving, maybe it's being aggressive to other dogs or other members of the family, maybe it's had a certain turn in its behaviour, maybe you can't leave it alone without it ripping the fixtures and fittings apart, then Craig is your man to speak to tomorrow. That's Craig Richardson from the Canine Centre up in Formby. And again, you can email them in advance to surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can phone or text on the day between 12 and 1. And the numbers are 0151 708 1059. The text is 61025. You start it with the word talk, you leave a space. And I still have Gary Miller in the studio for another 10 minutes. He'll be telling us about his deal of the week shortly, but I want to rattle through a few of the questions that you've already sent. Mark, who's in Wrexham, that's the second of the day from Wrexham, I think. We're doing very well in the Wrexham area, clearly. Mm. Says, hi, Will and Gary. I am on AOL, and I keep getting a box popping up all the time. It says, AOL updates critical. Should I download it, as I can't get rid of it, and how can I stop this happening? Any idea what that could be, Gary?
Roughly, if the message is security update, and then it says something like critical and then AOL, it doesn't mean to say that it's actually from AOL. Mm. It could be a virus. There was a virus last year called the Sunshine virus that was sent to all AOL, Yahoo and MSN messengers. Mm. And it was purely a virus, but people thought it was from them. So in this case, AOL. Mm. And it wasn't. And you actually have to use your antivirus program to get rid of it. So I would try that.
Is the very fact that box is popping up, would that suggest to you, if it is a virus, that Mark hasn't got antivirus software, or could it just be that
he could have the antivirus software, so I need to know that, but it could be out of date. It may have not updated it for a little while. There was a short window last year where Norton didn't actually have a way of fixing this, and it took about a month, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to a month to come through, so actually it wouldn't have got rid of it. So Norton should do it now, as would McAfee, as would Super Shield and a whole batch of others that we've already discussed. Mm. So a good antivirus program, AVG is one we keep getting told about. We'll use that. But it may be the Sunshine Virus. I don't know if the exact message laid out says something like security update critical, and then a colon, and then maybe AOL or MSN or Messenger or Yahoo. If it said any of those, it's most likely to be the Sunshine Spy Virus.
Do you know, whenever you get these pop-ups that pose as something else, I just think, and I can never quite put my finger on what it is, there's something about the presentation of them. Although they look really good, like sometimes they'll pose as Microsoft window boxes.
Yes.
There's just something about them that makes you think that's not a real box. It's something to do with the font or the crispness of the line around the box or the colours. There's usually, if you look carefully, something will flag up in my mind, like don't click on this because it's dodgy. I mean, are they getting better?
I've actually been caught out myself, to be honest. You know, gadget guru, and I get caught out because it was a Microsoft one. It wasn't Microsoft, but you're right, it looked like a Microsoft update. Mm. But Microsoft updates on my machine, and I should have realised this, are automatic. Mm. It shouldn't have had to ask me to update it. Mm. And I actually started doing it and then stopped and turned the machine off. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't actually happen. But it was a virus, and it had come through, and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm surprised that should be automatically updating. Well, obviously they've forgotten, so I'll press OK. And I thought, no, it's not, obviously. So I switched the machine off. So I caught it before it did any damage to the machine.
Certainly sounds like Mark in Wrexham should not be downloading that and getting some antivirus software.
Or at least getting an update, yeah.
Update, yeah. Chris in Ellesmere Port phoned in earlier on 7081059. Didn't want to come on air, but asked, he's heard that plasma TV screens contain a poisonous gas. So if you break one, you're in danger of inhaling in. He wants to know, is that an urban myth?
It is an urban myth. There's actually three. I'll go through them that I know of. The first is the gas is actually inert. It's non-flammable. It's a mix of two gases. It's neon and xenon, spelt X-E-N-O-N. Mm. They're neither harmful individually or mixed. So that's actually an urban myth. The other is that that plasma TVs emit dangerous radiation. They do emit a very tiny amount of UV radiation, but it's less than the typical TV, tube-type TV, the old cathode ray tubes, much less than that. So they're a lot less, not dangerous at all, but they emit a lot less radiation than a normal TV. And also, they don't need to be refilled. People say, oh, a plasma TV needs to be refilled, the neon and the xenon gases. No, they don't. They're fine as they are.
Do you know, thinking of plasma and flat screen TVs, I was doing a lot of kind of, you know, when you're on a week off, you end up being taken to Warrington a lot to go to those big outlet places and the big superstores. And I was in one that, I won't give the name of it, but it's the one where you can take stuff back and they won't ask any questions. And they had a bed. It was like a big leather sleigh bed, you know, the sleigh style beds with the kind of solid headboard and footboard at either end. And at the footboard end, it had a bed, which you opened up a little slot at the end of the bed, like a very long letterbox.
Yes.
And out popped a plasma TV. Yeah. Have you seen those?
I have seen them, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. What an idle society we've turned into that has to have a TV built into our beds.
Yeah, but it saves you.
Have you got
actually,
one?
No, I've not. I was actually thinking of getting
I bet you
one.
Would.
No, I won't get it. But it saves actually wiring it into the wall.
I'll tell you what it saves. It saves getting up and walking downstairs and watching TV in the sitting room where God intended.
I've got a TV in the bedroom. In fact, I've got TVs in three bedrooms. And I've got a TV in the bathroom as well.
Oh, come on.
You can't have enough TVs.
Do you know what? TV, whilst a fantastic invention, and I watch my fair share of it, it's invasive. I actually genuinely think that you should limit in your house your TV to one per household in the living room, nowhere else. Maybe, just maybe, you can have a little black and white portable in the spare room if she wants to watch EastEnders.
Black and white?
Yeah.
If she wants her indoors. Exactly. Dreadful, dreadful.
Well, can't you think of anything else to do in the bedroom or the bathroom that doesn't need to be bolstered by TV?
Do you know when you've had a really hard day and you just want to relax and lie back and maybe not even go to sleep, just to relax? There's nothing better than watching vegetable TV at 1 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep.
Well, I disagree. And I think
you still listen to Christa Berg, so
bedrooms are for sleeping in and perhaps once a week for marital duties and a bathroom is for your ablutions. End of debate. Right, I've got to end it, not because I'm losing, but because I want to get Lynn in Halewood's question in very quickly. She says, my son wants a laptop for going to uni with. Can you suggest something cheap, but with all the bits so he can do his projects and research, etc.? And also... it goes on, but I think that's the main brunt of the question.
What I would do, I'd go into John Lewis, I'd go into Currys Digital, I'd go into any of the big Warrington-based or Riverside retail estate-based computer places, and I would actually have a look at various ones. HP, for example, £349 at Currys Digital. Mm. It'll do the job. But you know what? You can actually get it for next to nothing. And what I mean by that is you can pay £20 to £30 a month. You get it with a USB broadband dongle, and it allows you to browse the internet and do your research on Google, etc. while you're traveling. So actually, for £20 to £30 a month, you've got a laptop and you've got internet access as well. Now, there is a fair use policy with those, so you can only download so much music, videos, etc. But it's good, but the bargain, I think, but you would be restricted to like a 24-month contract if you're doing it on a monthly basis, or spend £350 and get the laptop without actually buying anything else like a USB dongle, which you might have to get anyway if he wants to use that while he's travelling on the train or the bus.
Do you know what? It's absolutely amazing. When I was at uni, which wasn't that long ago, sort of in the mid-90s, anyone who had a laptop was like some sort of spoilt rich kid. You know, they were people with laptops. You know, you'd go around to their room to look at it. Now, just over 10 or 15 years later, they're giving them away free with an internet dongle or a mobile phone. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is.
Gary, we've only got a minute left. Have you got time to tell us about your deal of the week?
Yeah, if you're looking to do backup or restore your entire hard disk drive and get it for free, have a look at www.00-software.com. www.00-software.com, and it allows you to quickly back up and restore your data. It's a good thing to have. It's called the O&O Disk Image Express.
Okay, so if you want to back up what's on your computer for free, which doesn't sound like a bad thing, what's the address to go to again, Gary?
www.00-software.com.
Nice one. That's Gary Miller. He is back on Monday. If you've enjoyed the show and you want to listen to it again or tell a friend, it will be available as a podcast via www.citytalk.fm or, of course, via the iTunes store as well. I'm back tomorrow with Jill Burkhill, the vet, and also that dog behavioural expert. So if you want to get a question into them, you can email me now, surgery@citytalk.fm, or text or call tomorrow. City Talk.